This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. It's been a year since President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the multinational Iran nuclear deal, which aimed to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani marked that anniversary with an announcement.
ما در برجام توافق ما بر این بوده که غنی سازی در سطح 3.67 نگه.
He's saying, under the terms of the JCPOA, another term for the Iran deal, we agreed that we would keep enrichment to the level of 3.67. We will stop adhering to this, and there will no longer be a set level for enrichment. Now, he stopped short of pulling out of the deal totally, as the U.S. did. Instead, President Rouhani said Iran would stop complying with certain parts of the agreement. He said his country would begin to build up its stockpiles of two ingredients used to develop nuclear weapons. And he warned European countries that if they did not compensate for the economic sanctions against Iran from the U.S., he would go even further. Since that announcement, the U.S. has responded by promising more sanctions. Joining us in studio to discuss this is Robin Wright, an analyst and fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center. She's also a contributing writer at The New Yorker and the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin, welcome back to 1A.
Great to be with you as always.
We also welcome your questions and comments about this. We're just going to discuss this for the first part of the program before we move on. We'll have more to say on it tomorrow on the Friday News Roundup. But for now, we'd love to hear from you. Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Robin, what's been the response from around the world to President Rouhani's statement?
Well, one small correction, and that is that he said that if Iran did not feel the benefits of the program within 60 days, then it would no longer honor the limits in the nuclear deal. In between now and then, he said that they will continue to build up stockpiles of low-enriched uranium, which can be used for a peaceful nuclear program as well as a weapons program.
So it could be used for nuclear power plants, or it could be used for something more serious.
Iran actually needs nuclear energy because it has a limit on its oil stocks and, of course, needs it to export to build up revenue. So because of its burgeoning population, it wants nuclear power as well.
Let me talk about the U.S. response. Worth noting that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo cut short his European trip to come back to Washington for meetings on Iran. We learned that today from the State Department. Also, South Korea announced that North Korea had launched two short-range missiles, and so North Korea is on that agenda as well. But at a news conference yesterday, Secretary Pompeo said it was not clear yet what actions that Iran would follow through on. Here's part of what he said.
I think it was intentionally ambiguous. We'll have to wait to see what Iran's actions actually are. They've made a number of statements about actions they threatened to do in order to get the world to jump. We'll see what they actually do. The United States will wait to observe that.
That was Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking yesterday. Robin, what about that? Is this just a threat from Iran, something that they've threatened to do to, in the Secretary's words, get the world to jump?
Well, 1 year after the United States walked out of the deal, Iran feels that it has complied with all of the requirements, that there have been 14 trips to verify its compliance by the International Atomic Energy Agency, and that it's the one that's being shortchanged. What Rouhani said that's quite interesting is that a year later, we feel that the nuclear deal needs a surgery, that the painkiller pills of the past year have been ineffective. This surgery is for saving the deal, not destroying it. And I think that's its emphasis right now. But remember, we've seen a buildup that unlike the Obama administration, the Trump administration has been confrontational since the very first weeks in office when former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn went out and said, we formally put Iran on notice now. And you've seen in the past week that the United States has not only imposed new sanctions, but it has also deployed the battleship carrier USS Abraham Lincoln and some B-52 bombers off the shores of Iran. And so there is a sense that there is a buildup to what is not clear, but it's a very ominous escalation.
Now, in the opinion of much of the rest of the world and the other countries that were parties to the Iran nuclear deal, Iran's been doing okay. You mentioned that there have been multiple trips to try to monitor Iran's nuclear programs. And the other countries that are parties to this deal have said, well, Iran's doing its part. Remind us what Iran's part is in the nuclear deal? What is it they're supposed to be doing and not doing?
The 2015 nuclear deal was brokered between Iran and the world's five major powers. And it calls for limits on Iran's enrichment of uranium, which is the fuel for nuclear weapon, the destruction of one of the facilities, constant monitoring every day by machines and regular inspections by a human team. There are a number of restrictions that play out over 10 years, 15, 20, and 25 years. And the idea is to extend Iran's ability to take the technology it has and at least build in a year that it would take if it walked away from the deal to actually build a bomb before it was 2 or 3 months. And that year would give the world a chance to respond, take military action, impose new sanctions, or whatever action to squeeze Iran to comply again.
We're speaking to Robin Wright of the Woodrow Wilson International Center, the author of Rock the Casbah. Now, Robin, Secretary Pompeo stood beside his British counterpart, Jeremy Hunt, the British foreign minister, yesterday at that news conference. And President Rouhani's comment kind of pits the U.S. and the U.K. against one another. Is that kind of the point of him making this comment? He knows the U.S. and Europe do not view this the same way.
Well, that's the interesting thing. The U.S. walked away from the deal, but the other five major powers, the Europeans, China, and Russia, have all continued to honor it. And in many ways, Iran represents, the difference over Iran, represents the deepest split on any issue around the world between the United States and its European allies since World War II. It's that profound, and the Europeans are trying to figure out a way to salvage it. They've tried to figure out some kind of banking mechanism that will allow European companies to still do business with Iran without facing sanctions from the United States. But its efforts have so far failed to do that. And so what Rouhani basically did in his speech was say, you've got 60 days to figure it out, and you need to, you know, figure out ways to do business with us and even violate U.S. sanctions by buying our oil. So, you know, we face a real challenge in 60 days.
And I'm glad you said still be able to do business. I think they've been trying a barter system. They tried to think of a lot of different ways to maintain economic ties, because Iran may be cut off from the U.S. It's not cut off from Europe at all.
It's not cut off, but many European companies have opted voluntarily to walk away from business deals with Iran, mega deals with Iran, because it fears sanctions down the road from the United States. And the American market is, frankly, far more important than the Iranian market.
So what are we actually talking about here? I mean, is the real concern that the U.S. and Iran could get into like a hot war, a shooting war? Is this just brinksmanship on both sides to look tough? Like, what's really underneath all this?
I think there is a bit of brinksmanship, diplomatic, at this point. But the fact that the United States is deployed very close to Iran, whether it's in Iraq or on its other border in Afghanistan, it has ships in the Persian Gulf, that there's an overlapping of strategic interests in the world's most volatile region. And the U.S. has a history of, you know, tripping into wars, or in the case of Iraq, taking actions based on faulty intelligence.
Is the strategy that the U.S. is using on Iran, the sanctions, which the White House is doubling down on, is this strategy, for lack of a better word, working at all? Is the U.S. getting any of its strategic goals advanced by imposing these sanctions and increasing them?
Some yes, but in the big picture, no. Iran's oil exports have gone down from over 3 million barrels a day to somewhere around 1 million barrels a day. It has not gone down to zero, which the United States has demanded. But the bigger picture is it going to lead to a change in behavior, or more broadly, even regime change in Iran? And it's unlikely that sanctions alone, first of all, sanctions in other cases historically have taken years, even decades. When you look at South Africa, for example, or Rhodesia, you look at North Korea, we're still not at a point after draconian sanctions against North Korea where it's giving up its nuclear program. And so the prospects that in the next 2 years, or if President Trump were reelected another 6 years, that Iran would witness an uprising by its people because of sanctions, I think so far there are no indications that it's headed on that track. So yes, it's hurting. Is it going to be catastrophic for the Islamic Republic, for the revolution? Not yet.
Is that the ultimate end game, a regime change or a new nuclear agreement? So, like, what's the end game here?
That's the big question. You absolutely got it right. I think that within even the administration, there are differences. John Bolton, the national security advisor, has earlier, before taking the job, called for regime change, and he even wrote an op-ed in the New York Times saying that we should bomb Iran. Secretary Pompeo, when he was a congressman, called for regime change. Now claims he just wants a change in behavior. But his 12 demands are so sweeping that they kind of amount to a suggestion that it would take a radical overhaul in political personality. But President Trump has also said he's willing to talk to the Iranian president or even the supreme leader. So one of the big questions is, what is ultimately the goal and how far is the U.S. willing to go to get it? What are the dangers of some kind of confrontation? And if there was a war, then what?
Robin Wright, an analyst and fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center. She is the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin, thanks for talking to us.
Great to be with you.
We'll pick the story up tomorrow on the Friday News Roundup. But up next, we are joined by singer and songwriter Ile. She rose to fame as part of the group Calle 13, and she has a new solo album out tomorrow. You'll hear that, and we'll take some questions for her in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.